In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a special time of year, a time of year with great festivity and joy and peace and goodwill. It's a celebration, continued celebration of the Lord's Nativity. We know that this period was preceded by a 40-day period of fasting and prayer and almsgiving and study and spiritual discipline, and this season was called Advent, and it lasted for these 40 days. And now we enter into a period of festivity that also lasts for 40 days. Sometimes we think that Christmas is only a single day, as it is in the world. Christmas trees are out on the curb December 26th. Sometimes we think it's only the 12 days that we hear about often. But really, the Christmas season lasts from December 25th through February 2nd. When the Lord is brought into the temple as a young child. This whole 40-day period is one of celebration and festivity. Everything done in our Orthodox Church is in perfect balance, perfect order. We fast for 40 days, and we feast for 40 days. It's wonderful, this balance, this healthiness, this appreciation for the difficult things and for the joyous things of the spiritual life. I want to compliment you all as a community, because for this Christmas, December 25th, we had wonderful attendance at the services. It was like a Sunday, packed like it is today. We had crowds of people coming to celebrate the feast. And that's such an important aspect to our spiritual life that is often overlooked. And as we think that the spiritual life is just about fasting, sorrowing over our sins, and those difficult aspects of repentance and asceticism. But the spiritual life is also about celebrating and giving glory and thanks to God and rejoicing in His goodness and what He's done for us in our salvation. St. Paul speaks about this. He says that he can both be subdued and also he can abound, that he can be in deprivation and he can be in wealth. And St. Paul, when he's talking about this, he's talking about the fact that whether he is poor or rich, whether, as he said in the epistle today, he's free or he's under the law, whether he's with Jews or Gentiles, that in all things he's with Christ and he's with God. He is what he should be. And this was a difficult race for St. Paul, as it is for all of us. He said that he ran the good race, he fought the good fight. And now at the end of his life, as he says to Timothy, there's a crown laid up for him, a crown of glory. But through his whole life, he subdued the flesh so that he wouldn't become disqualified, so that in his rejoicing, he didn't overdo it. Balance is something that we focus on in the festal time, where we appreciate God's goodness and His creation and everything that He gives to us. But at the same time, we remember self-restraint and discipline, that we don't let the body rejoice without the soul rejoicing. And last Sunday, we spoke about these four wonderful gifts of God, the creation of the world, His making us in His own image and likeness, the sending of a Savior, the incarnation of Christ, and the redemption of the human race, these four wonderful gifts that we contemplate during these 40 days that bring rejoicing to our souls while our bodies also appreciate the good things of the world. I want to share with you something somewhat strange. You know, in this time of festivity, we have a strict fast day. The 12 days of Christmas is from December 25th through Theophany, January 6th. But January 5th, the day before today, is a strict fast day. We think, well, why? If there's supposed to be this balance, we did that already. Why are we fasting now? I want to share with you something about St. John the Baptist, who we think about at this time of year. One of his feast days is actually the day after Theophany. But even the day before, we think about John. We hear it in the Gospel reading, two Gospels today, one for the Sunday before Theophany and one for the eve of Theophany the day before. We heard about the ministry of St. John the Baptist. But first, I want to share with you this study. It's a study that was written about recently in the BBC by a commentator, Peter Bowes. He reviewed and took part, actually, in a study that was done in California. It was a study about health and about fasting. And it was a special type of fasting. It was a very low-calorie fast for a period of time and then returning to a normal diet. And then a low-calorie fast for a period of time, then returning to a normal diet. And they did this fast 5 days out of the 7 days, and then 2 days were normal days. And they did it for a certain number of months, and this person, Peter Bowes, wrote an article about it. Because this was something that was very fascinating to him and to many people who, this time of year, January 1st, into dieting, New Year's resolutions and things, it's very, very pertinent. He writes, he said that the diet had unexpected consequences for everyone, including extreme hunger in some cases, and an aversion to the limited amounts of food in others. On the positive side, volunteers, and he says including himself, reported a heightened feeling of mental well-being. Our stomachs may have been grumbling, but we experienced a surprising sense of alertness and sharpness of mind. A heightened feeling of mental well-being and a surprising sense of alertness and sharpness of mind. Now, this is just from a normal diet. From a normal diet that this person participated in that was done in a study in California. But they experienced something across the board. They experienced what the church fathers have known from the very beginning, that when the body is subdued, when the body fasts, the soul begins to feast. The soul becomes more aware of itself in spiritual realities, and the mind becomes sharper and clearer. That fasting allows us to feast in another way. Today is a strict fast day, and the reason is so that we might prepare ourselves for a feast. And what is the feast? But Theophany. Talk about the feast of the year. Theophany is one of the highest feasts. Pascha we put at the top. And then we put all of the feasts of the Holy Trinity. What are the feasts of the Holy Trinity? One is obviously Theophany, where the Holy Trinity is made manifest. Christ is baptized, the Son of God. The Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove. Another one is Pentecost. These are high holy days of the year. And the church gives us today a one-day period of preparation so that our minds can be alert, so that our minds can be sharp, so that we can see the great manifestation that comes to us. As we prepare ourselves, we contemplate the ministry of St. John the Baptist and forerunner of the Lord. St. John, we see in the icon, was one who stayed in the Jordanian wilderness, and he was there from a young child. He was orphaned as a young child, and he remained in the wilderness for many years in prayer and fasting and asceticism. And he would even say he didn't have that balance in his life, that he was focused solely on the soul, to the exclusion, if you will, even of the body, that he ate locusts and wild honey. He was clothed in camel's hair and a leathern belt. He lived out in a deserted place. Probably slept in the cold of the desert and was burned by the heat of the sun. His only refuge may be in the caves in the Jordanian wilderness. And there he dwelt, and he sought God, and God became his food. God became his nourishment, became his life. And in so doing, he became so illumined spiritually that his eyes were so opened of his mental sight and of his soul that he could see things that other people couldn't see. When people came out to him in the wilderness, he was able to look into them and see the condition of their soul, to see what was going on with them, to see what they needed so that they could be healed, so that they could be restored. And he spoke to them about this. He talked to them about the fruits of repentance and turning back to God and living a life of holiness. St. John had received these wonderful gifts because he applied himself to this fasting. One of the things, and probably the primary thing that St. John was gifted with as this prophet who could see things, was the privilege of seeing who the Savior would be. That he would go before the Savior preparing the way, and he would point him out. And he would tell people, "This is the Christ." We know in the Feast of Theophany, the Lord's baptism, he comes to John in the Jordan, and John does just that. He points him out. John's eyes are opened from this preparation, and he sees the Savior. And then more than this, when he does the baptism, he sees the heavens opened. He hears the voice of the Father. He sees the Holy Spirit descending upon the Son of God in the flesh. And he sees the manifestation of God. That's what Theophany literally means, the manifestation of God. Another term is Epiphany, manifestation from on high, that he opened himself to heavenly realities by his preparation, by his fasting, by his asceticism, by his repentance. Today, as we are on the verge of celebrating Theophany, called the Feast of Lights, this high holy day, the Church asks us to prepare ourselves, to observe a one-day fast, to let our minds become sharp, have our hearts warmed, our eyes opened, so that we don't miss the realities that are before us, the reality that St. John the Baptist saw so clearly, who the Savior is, who God is in the Holy Trinity, how he's working salvation for us. One of the wonderful privileges that we have, that St. John the Baptist didn't have in the same way. It's remarkable to think we have a privilege that he didn't have in the same way. That we have this wonderful celebration of the blessing of waters that we partake of. We drink this water, and in a sense, it's a renewal of our baptism. It comes within us and sanctifies us by the grace of God. Tonight, we'll have the Matin service at 7. We'll have the great blessing of water at the end of the service. It's an opportunity for us to receive that renewal, to receive that grace, to use this day well in preparation and anticipation so that we can truly feast on those higher things, those things from above, those things of God, so that Theophany will be, an epiphany will be, the manifestation of God from on high, not just to St. John the Baptist, but also to each and every one of us. I encourage you to, as you did for Christmas, to come for Theophany, to come for the services, to partake of that grace, to celebrate that feast, to have that balance in your lives. Tonight's service is at 7, the liturgy tomorrow is at 9. Brothers and sisters, let us receive these wonderful gifts. Let us celebrate them. Let us keep this season as it should be kept. Enjoy and gratitude, thanksgiving, and worship, and all of those wonderful things that God has for us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.